Are we back farther than we normally are? Space. All right.
Jim, what's your plan for cornerback?
Well, obviously Darby's going to be out. I don't think that's a secret. We have a lot of different ways that we can cover it in different packages. I don't want to announce any of those now or divulge any of those now. No sense giving Kansas City a jump on just knowing what numbers would be out there or getting any kind of jump on a game plan. So we'll hold that. We'll hold those cards close to the vest this week.
If Rasul Douglas does play, well, let's just, what did he show you before, leading up into the opener?
He was an improving player. He made a lot of strides from the beginning of training camp until the end of training camp. Like a lot of rookie players, it slowed down at some point for him. Early on he was inundated with all the new things and everything else. And then at the end, it was able to go a little bit slower for him. Very competitive. You saw that in the preseason games. He's long. He can get his hands on football, and he's tough, and he'll tackle. I thought he had a very good training camp after a slow start.
Asked you in the preseason about turnovers. They continued, obviously, on Sunday. What do you attribute this high rate to at this point?
I think it starts up front. Turnovers are generally the result of heavy contact and pressure on the quarterback. Whether the quarterback releases it and makes an errant pass, which you saw on one of ours, or you hit him in the pocket and he fumbles, which you saw, in our game also a couple times. Quarterback is very vulnerable when he's in the pocket. There's a reason there's so many rules to protect him. And one of the biggest vulnerabilities is with the ball. He has to let go one hand to throw the football. And if you're around him, you got a chance to create some turnovers. If you ever go to a training camp practice and watch 7-on-7, it's very rare that you're getting interceptions in 7-on-7. The reason is there's nobody putting the quarterback under duress. There's nobody clogging his vision up, and there's nobody knocking the ball out of his hand. So I think that's probably the biggest thing. I think we can we show good signs of being a physical team. And, I think the turnovers come. And I also think that we did a good job balancing that out with playing with some discipline, too. We took two defensive penalties in that game. And the two times last year that we played them, combined in those games, we had six penalties for first downs allowed. In other words, three times a game, we gave them another chance. We gave them a first down that they didn't really earn. And in this game, we flipped that script. I was really pleased to see that because, you have to balance that. And I like the aggressiveness. I like the ability to get around the quarterback. But we didn't foul the quarterback. We didn't get personal fouls, and we played a pretty clean game. I think that was key.
Jim, on the Jalen Mills interception, what made you comfortable calling such a big blitz in that spot?
I don't know. I mean, we had executed it well earlier in that game. I thought it was a good part of the field. I mean, there's nobody saying what a great call blitz was when they threw a wide receiver screen for 34 yards, but they did, and they had a good play dialed up. And, first I thought they had checked to it. They didn't check to it. They just had it. So, blitz can be that way. You can make some plays. You can give up some. But I thought at that point of the game we were holding on to a two-point lead. Yeah, I mean, field goal, we were going to lose. I don't know if it was one or two. I can't remember. But I knew a field goal, we lost the lead. And, a chance to be able to get a stop there was big, and the turnover was big. I'd like to see us get a little bit more out of that return. But that's really, splitting hairs.
Terrell Pryor got behind the defense a couple times, but they just weren't able to make the plays. Facing one of the fastest players in the NFL next week, and how do you correct that?
Yeah, one of them, we got a little bit loose in the way we handle a deep crosser. It was more of a scheme thing than anything else. And, even the other plays, even if he's behind us, if we're visioning the ball and we can play the football, he's not behind us unless the ball can get over our heads. And I think there was a couple of those situations also. I was generally pleased with our ability to play the ball in the air. We've worked really hard this off season on that aspect. I think you saw it with Jalen, Patrick Robinson had a really good play on that, where if he got his back turned, we're real vulnerable to getting a pass interference. he's got the guy faced out. The ball's way overthrown, and he's just chill as can be. But, you know, there's a couple there scheme-wise, technique-wise, that we can play a little bit better. And you're right. You know, you have to play those plays, or big play, or a guy like Tyreek Hill can make you pay for them.
James, what did you make of the report on the dynamic that exists between you and Doug?
Yeah, you know, I still haven't read it. Stroh filled me in on it. I'll say this, and I'll say this unequivocally. I am very comfortable with my relationship with Doug Peterson, and I know he's comfortable in his relationship with me. And what I do here is I work extremely hard to execute the defense the way that he has outlined it for me, okay? And I'm very comfortable in that. And not everybody is privy to those instructions. So if anybody misunderstands or misinterprets any actions, just know this. Coach Peterson is aware of everything that I do in this building, outside of the building. And, you know, maybe they're not privy to it. I'll give you an example, and it was just a half hour ago. Coach Peterson has a rule in the cafeteria that you can't wear tank tops or no sleeves in the cafeteria. Well, he wasn't in the cafeteria, but I was. And there was an offensive player that had no sleeves on. And I tapped him and said, you got to get out. You got to get sleeves on. Now, I know as a head coach, when I served that, I wanted people around the building that were enforcing my rules. And I did that for him. I respect that. I respect that position. And I'm going to do I'm going to execute the job the way that he outlined it for me. And, you know, I think, you know, anything else we can't really worry about.
How cognizant have you been as a former head coach with, you know, what would be described as kind of an alpha male personality coming in and you know, and making sure that you're not stepping on the toes of a first year?
Yeah. Again, I just know the way that Doug outlined the job to me, and it had nothing to do with anything but having my personality. And, you know, he embraced that. You know, look, I can be brash. Check. I can be in your face. Check. It's the only way I know to coach defense. And, you know, as long as Coach Peterson's fine with it, I'm going to continue that, and he is.
Jim, we saw Derek Barnett a lot on third downs. Is that going to kind of be his role for the foreseeable future, and how did he perform on Sunday?
I thought he had an impact just not on third downs. He made a really big play in the run game. He clogged everything up and really did a nice job. A puller was coming his way, and, you know, they tried to take advantage of him being a rookie. Thought he played well in the run and the pass game. You know, I think there were a couple plays that if we could have made him hold the ball a little bit longer, I thought you would have seen Derek. But I thought that was a good start for him. That's not just his role. He does have a role on a nickel pass rush. We got a lot of different groups. I mean, you probably saw, you know, I'm guessing probably about five or six different combinations of guys up front. And, you know, that's the way we intend to be.
Speaking of that, Ram lined up inside this game. In the past, at least last year, we saw Curry do that a lot. Is that a change this season?
I don't know. It's probably an expansion rather than a change.
You have listed a fair amount.
Did you come in with that plan, or was it because you had a lot of third and longs?
Well, third and longs did have a lot to do with it, for sure. And I think that was a big key to the game. You know, when we played these guys last year, they were head of sticks pretty much the whole game because we did a poor job in the run game, particularly the first game. And, you know, this game, they had a lot of second down and 11, second down and 10s. Makes it easy to call defense when it's, you know, third and long and second and long. And that was all attributed to our ability to stop the run. I mean, you know, Cousins had some scrambles and stuff, but I think we were like 13 rushing attempts from running backs for like 34 yards. I don't know. You'd have to go back and check that. But, you know, I thought that was key. There were some key things in the game. First was the ability to play the run and stay ahead of the chains to be able to dictate some of those third downs. I think there were some critical points in the game. You mentioned, or somebody mentioned, the interception, that they had a chance to gain the lead. Not only did they not get the lead, but, you know, we got the interception, so we retained the lead. Another one was the 17-play drive. Our guys never lost their composure. We didn't give up a big play, and that's tough playing a 17-play drive, but we held them to a field goal. I thought there was a big shift in momentum when we were going to hold them to a field goal there, and I think the last one was the backed-up series. You know, the special teams did a great job getting that ball down there, and then we got a quick three and out, set our offense up. We were able to get the field goal that basically sealed the game, or not sealed the game, but gave us a great chance to win that game, and that was because of a good series there. I thought those three things were also key.
Jim, are you confident enough in your corners going into this weekend's Tyreek Hill to see that blitzing continue? Because I know that's never been, you know, one of your mentalities to generate front four pressure. Are you comfortable enough with the personnel to continue that blitz?
Yeah, I mean, you guys know me. I really don't want to talk too much about game plan and things like that. But anybody that we put on the field, we're going to have confidence in to be able to execute anything that we call. So I'll just leave it there.
Did a very good job against the right tackle that's considered one of the better right tackles in the league, and Morgan Moses. Is Brandon, I mean, he was one of the league's top guys in the number of pressures last year, but the sack number was average. I mean, is he a different – has he made a big step here or
– No, I think he's the same guy. I mean, there were a couple things with Brandon. First, he had the two sacks, including a strip, and he actually stripped the ball on another one. The other one, the ball was out before it got the ground. It really didn't matter. They got on it quick. But he had two tackles for losses, so he was still good in the run game, particularly early in the game. It was big play, second and 11. The other thing, forced holding penalty. We talked about that one, but we didn't do a great job in coverage, and the ball got over the top, even though the guy dropped it. If he had caught it, that was coming back because Brandon had forced a holding penalty. Those go a little bit below the radar. You know, you force a quarterback into intentional grounding. You force an offensive lineman into a hold. Good players can do those kind of things, and Brandon's a good player.
Jim, Duggan mentioned Patrick seems to be getting more comfortable in the slot. Are you going to take that into account moving forward as far as the decision to place Darby outside?
Yeah, I like his flexibility for sure, and he swung in this game. You know, he played inside, he played outside. It's what a veteran player can do. He's done both of those in his career, and the plan going into this last game was him to only play nickel, but obviously plans change. And was able to bail us out. I also I can't go without mentioning the contribution Jalen Watkins made to that game, because there was a personnel package that to replace Darby we would have had to move three different guys, and rather than doing that we just plugged Jalen in and for the whole second half, and all he did was go out there and execute his job and made a big play that backed up. He made a big play, big hit, and limited a run after the catch. And I thought he was up to the challenge. That was good to see.
A couple more, please.
Your thoughts on Alex Smith and the mobility that he has and the challenge that presents?
Yeah. You know, I don't know if it goes underrated, but it is in my book. He's a good athlete. They run a lot more read option type plays than most teams that we'll face. So you have to count for that. The bootleg passes, you have to count for that. He does throw the ball quick, but he has the ability to escape if he doesn't throw it quick. Boy, you know, you couldn't have a much better game than he had in week one. And the guy's been around for a long time. He's played 13 years, or this is his 13th. I got a lot of respect for that guy and his ability to execute an offense, and we're going to play our very best against him.
You saw Tyreek Hill and Kareem Hunt have big games in week one. What stands out about them?
Well, I mean, they're both talented guys, and I think what stands out about it is if you pay too much attention to any one guy, then another guy can make you pay. I mean, you know, 87's got a lot of attention also. Kelsey, they have a lot of talent across the board, and the quarterback can get the ball to all of them. So, you know, if you want to spend too much attention on, on Tyreek, then Kelsey – and, you know, running backs, all those guys can make plays. And you have to play good, sound defense, and you have to be good across the board. It's not just about taking one guy out of this offense. If you try to do that, I think there's a lot of other guys that can you know, like the running back did, put almost 250 yards up, I think. You know, I mean, it was close to it. So, I mean, we can't overplay one person at the expense of the other guys.
How much do you talk to Doug this week about, obviously he knows that offense pretty well. How much time do you spend talking with him about it?
Well, the good news is we got to go all training camp against him. You know what I mean? So I think that that has a lot to do with it. You know, you go out there every day, and passing game-wise, there's a lot of similarities. There's a little bit of difference in the run game. They have a little bit more gadgety runs, a little bit more read option type runs, some stuff that they try to distract you with. But there's a lot of similarities in the passing game. There's a lot of similar concepts. You know, they're a team that uses multiple personnel packages like our offense. So there's certainly some carryover, and it's not just Coach Peterson. You know, we've had interaction with, you know, a lot of different guys on the staff. You know, hey, what are you guys seeing here? How would you guys do that? And just the way they attacked us, and when I say they, I mean us, the way our offense attacked us in training camp, I think there's going to be some, you know, similarities in the way they saw our defense and the way Kansas City would. So I think it is an advantage, or it can be a benefit. Let's put it that way. Okay. All right, guys.